Was with John 7. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, I'm glad to sit next to you. I'm blessed to sit with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. And that is his nature. He's not changing. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God. He's an everlasting God. We've been talking about spiritual maturity, and I want to, for the next few minutes, speak a little bit about this spiritual maturity. I pray that the Holy Spirit will get hold of my mind and my spirit. My body is exhausted, but I'm under the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God is good. So I need you to cheer me up as I go along. Hallelujah. What is spiritual growth? What is spiritual maturity? Would you write this on your notes for those who are taking notes? As you write, what is spiritual growth? What is spiritual maturity? What is spiritual growth? What is spiritual maturity? This is as simple as I can really define it. Spiritual growth and spiritual maturity is simply Christ-likeness. Somebody say Christ-likeness. Would you tell your neighbor what spiritual maturity, spiritual growth is? It is Christ-likeness. Hallelujah. Can I qualify that to you before we go into John chapter 7? According to the Word of God, the Bible says that God is Spirit. Anybody read that scripture lately? That God is spirit. I don't call him a spirit. I call him God is spirit. That is his nature. And the Bible tells me that a man was created in his image and his likeness. I'm reading to you John 4 and verse 24, that God is a spirit. God is spirit. And so if God is spirit, and you and I are created in his image and likeness, that means that you are a spirit. Somebody say, I am a spiritual being. So God is a spirit and man is a spirit. But listen to this. But for you as man to participate fully in the divinity of God and rule in the earth, dominate the earth, as the Bible tells us in Genesis, that God created him, male and female, and he gave them a command. And one of the commands, it is for them to be in charge, that you shall rule over the earth. You shall rule over every creation that it's here he created, including the earth itself. It's under your command. How do you command? How do you rule? How do you dominate? It is by being Christ-like and speaking Christ-like words into the realm of the natural, because you are a supernatural being. And so for you to be able to do that, to rule here on earth, you must grow spiritually, mature in your spiritual life, and you must be healthy spiritually. Somebody say, I must mature. Oh my. Are you really here? I must mature and be healthy spiritually for me to rule and to dominate. Did you realize, my brothers and my sisters, that everything that touches your life, everything on earth that touches your life, whether it's the food you eat, it's the car you drive, it's the home that you live in, the relationships that you are in, do you realize that everything that has to do with your life, God has given you control over it? It's what it is. Okay, let me repeat that. Everything that touches your life, including the Milky Way, the stars, the cosmos, as we call it, God has given you control over it. Thank you for that one, amen. He said, the sun stood still until the army of God won the battle. The last time I checked my scriptures, the Bible says that the moon will not smite you by night, nor the sun by daytime. What is he saying? He is giving you authority over the creation. Everything that touches your life, you have the control and the power over it. So that means you are not to be determined by your circumstances. I'll say that again. That means you're not supposed to be determined by your circumstances. What the natural is saying, it's not what the supernatural is saying. The Bible says, let me not go there. But here it is. For you to be able to overcome, you must be able to clothe yourself with the nature of Christ. Our problem as a church, and I'm not talking about Kingdom Ambassadors Church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, it is because we put on Christ like a winter jacket when we need him. But when I feel like I don't need him, I take him off. You know I'm preaching better. That's what we do. Some things, when things happen in our lives, you say, I better take Christ off a little bit and put him on that hanger right there. Let me deal with this brother. Let me deal with this sister. Let me deal with this situation. That's not Christ-like. Christ-likeness, the Bible says, it's when you allow God to fight your battles. When you surrender your right to be right and to be validated in your feelings, and you allow the Holy Spirit to take over. You remember last Sunday I said that your emotions can be hurt. Your feelings can be hurt. You can be in a situation where you are hurt. Somebody says something nasty to you. Something just happened. You are hurting emotionally. Your feelings have been stepped upon. But as a person who is Christ-like, Galatians 5 and 22, the fruits of the Spirit, these are the features of a believer. Grab your phone. You have your phone? Everybody has a cell phone? Not the kids. I know you don't. You would like me to tell your parents to get you cell phones. But here it is. When you look at your phone has features. Your phone operates because of the features in your phone. If you want to make a call, there is a feature for making calls. If you want to send a text, you do not use the calling feature. You use the texting feature in your phone. Now, Give us Galatians 5:22. Because these are the features of a believer. This is our operation system. When my emotions and my feelings are hurt, and my flesh want to say something so bad, I want to respond in a certain way. I have to remember that the Bible says that the fruits of the Spirit, number one, is love. I love the writer of Proverbs who says that soft answers breaks bones. So somebody can come to you and they can really be walking all over your feelings. They are hurting you and they are really damaging you. But when you respond with love, love neutralizes everything. Hello? Somebody say love. You respond with love, Christ-like. The second fruit, he says there's joy in the Holy Ghost. So you need to be joyous. Peace, the shalom of God, long-suffering. People hate that word, believers, long-suffering, because we don't understand what that word means. We think it means to suffer for a long time. Anybody here? We think it means to suffer for a long time. That's not what long suffering means. To be kind, kindness. That's why Jesus said, if they come to you and take your jacket, give them your shirt too. Be kind. Some of us will be throwing some punches. You ain't getting my jacket. I bought it with my own money. It wasn't your money first in the first place. It's God's money. You are managing that money for God. See, this is what Christ-likeness is. When we mature spiritually, we don't own anything. You don't even own you. Some people think, oh, now I'm married, I have somebody to control. May I tell you? You have no right. He may be your husband, but he doesn't belong to you. She may be your wife, but she doesn't belong to you. They may be your children, but they don't belong to you. You are a steward, what we call a manager. God have entrusted to you that woman, that man, those children to be a manager over them. And guess what? God will come with a reward in his hands to reward every faithful steward, every faithful manager. I need to make a t-shirt, handle me with care. Handle me with care. I belong to God. I'm giving you an idea for business. Sunday, come with a t-shirt. Handle me with care. I belong to God. So there is goodness. There is faithfulness. These are the features that need to be your operational systems. That when they come, they find love. When they come, they find kindness. They find joy, peace. Do you know, even when a person is ready to fight and they come and they find love and peace, you disarm them completely. Try that technique. Try that method. It works better. Instead of, I ain't making dinner. Instead of, I ain't calling you. I ain't talking to you. Gentleness, self-control. That self-control right there, it's the whole thing. Have you gone to the computer and find the control system? That self-control. That's where you love. That's where your personality is subdued. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That I want to go back to the law of Moses. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But the law, the self-control says, the nature of Christ, who is in me, he has given me a feature of self-control. This is how I'm going to behave. I will be self-controlled. I ain't going there with you. Somebody said when they go low, you kick them. That's not a principle to bring peace. When they go low, arise above. Okay, so let's go to, that was a bonus this morning. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing. I'm just flowing. Let's go to John 7:38. Are you ready? Hello. You are ready? Because I'm gonna read for you some different translations that I need to, because I need to establish something in your spirit, which will be good. But let's read this. He who believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's a New King James Version. I want to take you to the Amplified Translation. And so, you just write your notes and let's just flow with me. He who believes in me, Jesus says, who cleaves and trusts in me and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. My brother, my sister, can I take you to John 6 and verse 60? Let me go to verse 63. Let me skip all the other verses. Let's go to John 6 and verse 63. And this is where the rubber meets the... Out of your innermost being, the Bible says, shall flow rivers, springs of living water. Look at John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit. Read with me. Read it with me. Oh, hold on. Let's do better. Let's begin again. 1, 2, 3, read. Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. Thank you. It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefits. So Galatians 5:22 has nothing to do with your flesh. It has to do with your spirit. And the Bible says that flesh benefits nothing whatsoever. There is no profit in it. But the Word, somebody say the Word. The living Word, Jesus said that I have spoken to you the truth. This truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so that I have spoken, or I have been speaking to you as spirit and life. So let me say this, my brothers and my sisters. Every believer, how many believers do we have in the house? Let me see with a show of hand. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have confessed him as Lord and Savior of your life. May I say to you that you are a spirit, and God has given you the spirit in you. It is the spirit of truth. It is the Spirit that gives life. So out of you should never come death. Out of you should never come negative confession. Out of you should never come a word that is bitter. It need to be life. Because he who that is in you is the life giver. So the opposite is also true. That whoever kills is not of God. Hello. Are we here? If death comes out of me, that's not of God. What comes out of God is life and spirit. And so if I come into your life and we become friends, I don't come with sufferings. I don't come with anything else but the Spirit of the living God in me that gives life. So I enter your life and I speak life. I come and I find you stuck somewhere. And because of the life-giving nature of Christ in me, I am able to pull your hand and call you out of your situation, out of where you are being stuck. We are a life-giving organisms through Christ. That's the nature of God. Hey, let me say something to you. If your son or your daughter is struggling with something, don't call them stupid, because they're going to be exactly what you call them. That is not speaking life. You are destroying them. If they struggle, come alongside them and see how you can help, understand them, listen to them. Because you love them and your nature is life-giving. So if I'm a life giver, what will I give? If you're a life giver, what do you give? If you pass by somewhere and people come after you had left, when they come there, they ought to know that the life giver was in that home, was in that working station, was in that office. Because the office looks like life-giving. The house looks like life-giving. When people come into your house, they come troubled. They find a peaceful environment. They find Holy Ghost filled home. They enter your car. The Holy Spirit takes over them. Because you are a life-giving and everything that you touch becomes life-giving. Let me tell you, I believe in it. I am praying God to give us a hunger and a thirst after his righteousness. Even the jacket that I wear, I believe that a sick person can take this jacket, put it on. And because it was on life-giving person, that material has life in it, that person becomes whole and they are healed. That's why they used to pray over handkerchiefs in the Bible days, because the life-giving have touched. Everything that you touch should become a living organism. At your job, things should change. In your business, things should change. In your home, in your car. I'm not going to step on you this morning, but what I'm trying to say to you, it is that every baby spiritually must grow. There is a story that goes like this. This man and the woman, his wife, were having some financial troubles. And because of the financial issues, they sat down and they agreed And the man was begging his wife and pleading with her and asking her not to go shopping for clothes anymore. Because anytime she goes to the mall, she comes with the new stuff. And so the husband felt like, we need to talk. And they had a talk. And so this one day, the story goes that they went to the mall. She goes to the mall to pick up something that she had ordered. And when she went to pick up the order, she found a very beautiful dress. And she looked at it. And she said, this looks good. And she took it, went to the fitting room, and put it on. And it looked good on her. So she took it off, and she bought the dress. So she picks up the order and buys the dress and goes home. When she gets home, she tells the husband, I bought a dress. I picked up the order and I bought a dress. So the husband goes, why did you allow Satan to tempt you? Why didn't you say, get thee behind me, Satan? And the wife responded, saying, I did. But he told me I look good from behind and from front. So, we need to be life-giving people. Can I take you to Mark chapter 12? I want to show you something. We talked about water flow out of your innermost being. What does water symbolize? The water in the Bible symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Life-giving flow. That flow in John 7, it's a life-giving flow that comes through the Spirit of the living God and the truth that it's in you. So water symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Water refreshes. Water satisfies. Water washes. Water cleanses. Water causes fruitfulness. So when you surround yourself with life-giving people in the Spirit of the living God, the Bible is saying you should be refreshing. And you yourself should be refreshed. Water washes, water cleanses, it causes fruitfulness. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, I want us to look at this, and I want to read it for you in King James Version. It says, and Jesus answering unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Amplified translation. Jesus said to them, is not this where you wander out of the way and go wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? New American Standard. Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God? NIV. Jesus replied, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead arise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. I want to clarify something on that scripture. Here are the Sadducees and Pharisees coming to Jesus to ask about a man or a woman who had been married by several brothers because they kept on dying and passing her over. But I want to concentrate on verse 24. That Jesus was answering, don't forget, these are religious people. Tell your neighbor. Religious people. Say to them, Sadducees and Pharisees were religious. They claimed to know the Bible. They stood in the marketplace as holy and righteous people. These are the guys who condemned every other person that they are sinners because they didn't keep the law. But the Bible says Jesus, the Word himself, who became the Word and was with God the Father, he said to them, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. What does that mean? When you don't know the Bible, when you don't know what the Word says, you don't even have the power. He says, didn't you read, this is in Exodus chapter 3, from verse 2 to about 6. He said, didn't you read about Moses, about the burning bush? That he said to Moses, I am God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. He says, I am not God of the dead, but God of the living. Where was Abraham? Where was Isaac? Where was Jacob? Were they living then? No. But God was saying that Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac are not dead. They are living. That's why he said, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In another way, he was trying to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees that you, because you do not know the Bible or the power of God, you are dead within yourselves. And he was trying to say to them, he cannot be your God, and I cannot be your Jesus, because I am living, but you are dead in you. Are you here? Look at that scripture very well. These were Pharisees, people who went to the temple, they went to the church to pray. They read the word, scriptures publicly. But the Bible says Jesus is now indirectly communicating a message to them, showing them how they are in error because they don't know the Bible and they do not even know the power of God thereof. Hello. This is the word. And if you read Matthew, in the same passage of scripture. In fact, the Bible says they picked up stones to go and stone Moses. Matthew 22. And verse 32. John 8. Give us John 8, please. Verse 57. To 59. Then, this is how he responded when he said he is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at that scripture very carefully. Here he says, they say to Jesus, these are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This shows you how they did not understand the scriptures. He said, you are not yet 50 years old. They say to him, and you have seen Abraham. They are saying to Jesus, you are not even 50. And you are saying you have seen Abraham, that you know Abraham. They never understood. Let's go. He said, very, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, he didn't say I was. He says I am. It is the same word that it's in Exodus when he appeared to Moses. He said the I am. Now he is saying to you, before Abraham was, I am is still the I am. It has not changed. They did not understand that scripture. At that, when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Somebody say present tense. Your God does not live in the past. Jesus does not live in the past. The Holy Spirit does not live in the past. They are not trying to be what they have not been. They are being what they have always been, the I am. And the Bible says, at that very moment, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. This is what happens when people don't understand the scriptures. They pick up stones to fight you. Hello, spiritual babies. But they were standing in public to read. You know what this means? This is what we call the idol. I-D-O-L. Idol knowledge. Idol knowledge awareness. They did not know the power of the word and the power of God. It's what the Bible says, that they confess him, but they deny the power thereof. I don't have time to take you into Timothy and all that, but let me finish with this sentence. Sit upright and listen, and get your notes, get your notebook, and write. I want to give you a sentence. Here it goes. When you feed on the right food, you grow the right way. When you feed on the right food, you grow the right way. Put there. But when you feed on the wrong food, you grow the wrong way. These Sadducees and Pharisees, they were feeding on the wrong stuff. They misinterpreted the Bible. They were feeding wrongly. They ate the wrong food. They grew up wrongly, and they remained babies who did not understand the scripture. I'm not going to elaborate that right now. We'll go into it next Sunday. But I pray that in the name of Jesus, that you are not one of those who do not understand the scriptures and who does not understand the power of God thereof. But may I say to you, when we do not know the word, we are powerless as believers. When you don't have the word in you, it's not carrying the Bible that makes you a believer. It is getting this word out of these pages of the Bible and memorizing it and becoming part of you. That, you remember Jesus? He didn't even have a Bible and he kept on telling the devil, it is written. It is written. He overcame by with it is written. May I say to you, there is no excuse of not knowing the word. May God help us. May God mature us. May you have a desire to be Christ-like. That's my prayer for you. Father, I pray that you help my sister and my brother, all of us, young and old, to be like you, to have your nature, to have the features of the Holy Spirit in us, that we may understand the scriptures and that we may know the power thereof, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We can, Alex, you can finish with the recording. I'm done with the message. And I want to, for the next few minutes, I want to bring my